It's midwinter and the height of the trout spawning season. I've joined families watching rainbow and brown trout perform their procreation ritual in the Waihukahuka stream, south of Turangi, in the centre of the North Island.
There's a scullerfish.
A scullerfish, yeah.
People don't teach those.
The trout look to be resting, but there's actually quite a bit of drama going on. The female, the hen, is looking for the likeliest dad to fertilise her eggs. The males, who are known as jacks, are busy eyeing up their competitors and sometimes getting into fights using a hook in their jaw. A shallow trench is dug as a nest, the eggs are laid, then fertilised, and then after a swish of the tail to cover and protect them, they're left to hatch. The fingerlings eventually making their way to Lake Taupō via the Tongariro River. We're at the Tongariro National Trout Centre, where you can learn all about trout and native fish, and where children can feed trout for some school holiday fun. They can also learn to fly fish in a specially stocked pond set up for kids, like Isla Peterson.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right.
Okay, put your right hand on. So what would like you to do?
My name is Isla. I'm just about to go fishing and I'm wearing waders.
You can see the fish down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
My name's Doug Stevens. I'm on the board of the Trout Centre. I'm a very keen fisherman and I love to take young kids out and show them how the skills and get them to catch a trout for the first time.
So what I would like you to do now is we're going to actually use the rod to cast together. So I'm going to
you pull it backwards and then the line goes into the water.
So do you see that movement?
Yeah.
Here it comes. Now you see there's an orange little bit on the end of the line?
Yeah.
That's called the indicator.
When it sinks, it tells you a fish has grabbed your fly and you can grab the fish.
See that little movement there? And you've got yourself a fish. Okay, so now change hands and wind in.
You need to wind it up and when it starts pulling, you should stop. And when the fluffy thing sinks, you have to yank up
that
the line.
It. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Oh, we had them. When you yell yes, I want you to do that. So you give it a jerk up. That's called a strike.
Okay,
keep going. Come.
Yep.
This time you got one. That was a fantastic strike. As soon as that fish took, you struck, which was good.
It is something that kids from the big cities don't get a chance to do, go and actually see some fish, put out a line, learn how to cast or even get the basics of casting and hook a fish, land it, have it cooked for them when smoked and get the photos and the T-shirt and say,
and
how clever I am.
Okay, lift them in. That's it. Well done. That's a good fish.
Wiggly.
Now you know what to do next. You're going to actually have to hit it with the dongy knocker. Can't be gentle doing that. We want to kill them quite quickly. Okay, now the next thing is we're going to actually put a bit of flax through the mouth. If we can find a bit of flax.
Some flax over here.
Yep. And what I want you to do is lift them up by the gills.
Yep.
And then thread that through the under the gill, through the mouth. So what we do is we go around like that and see if you can do it. Yep, that's good. Save you having to carry the fish in your hands, get them all fishy.
That was good.
That was a bigger fish this time.
Well, she got that one. She actually struck on that one herself, which is really good.
Awesome. My name is Julia Vary, and I am the Kids Fishing Ambassador here at the Tongariro Trout Fishing Centre in Turangi. Here we have a beautiful pond out in front of us where we have our kids fishing program, which runs every school holidays. And out on the pond we have a group of volunteers who dedicate their time, due to having a huge passion for fly fishing, to teach kids and sometimes their parents or caregivers how to cast on the pond and catch their first fish. I caught my first fish here when I was 5, so 36 years ago. It's where I caught my first trout. And it's a wonderful experience for a lot of kids, to have that experience for the first time. A lot easier, obviously, here on the pond where it's in a controlled environment and much safer to learn here than it is on a river. So a lot of these kids have this first amazing childhood experience with their loved ones. And our goal here is to educate, teach them about fishing, the ecosystem, and hopefully at some stage later in life they might want to take it up themselves. And perhaps a new hobby for the family together to do something.
Why do you think it's important for kids to learn about fishing?
Oh, just getting kids outside. I think as a society we have progressed probably more indoors, specifically after COVID. 2 years of being locked inside, people are frightened even re-emerging back out into society again. People are having a hard time either with, you know, mental health, anxiety, scared of what might happen, unsure of what's happening, you know, from a political side of things. So our big thing here is to try and encourage families and young ones and friends to get back outdoors and connect with their natural environment. Because I think as humans we need that. We need that connectivity to our outdoors. And in New Zealand, fishing is amazing because people don't realise what's in their backyard and so easily accessible. A lot of these rivers that we drive over every single day have fish in them, and people would have no idea if they stopped, pulled over and went bushwhacking or explored that they might find a beautiful tranquil spot and have a great incredible moment and memory, you know, together as a family. It's cool.
You used to be in the police, Julia. How did you get to become a fishing ambassador here?
Yeah, a bit weird, isn't it? 10 years I had policing, and I guess at the end of my policing career, you see the highs and lows of what people face in society, and I just saw it as a really wonderful opportunity when I was asked to step into the role as a give back to the community, and especially for those families and children that don't get to have special experiences together. So this morning Isla and I were out on the Tongariro River this morning together. That was her first time actually casting into the river. She's starting to graduate from the pond here, which is great. The river this morning was a bit fast paced for her, so we did it. We were as careful as we possibly could just after all that rain that we've had come through. But it's really cool having that time to connect in with your kids, and something that she will remember forever, here's hoping. But I certainly do, remembering, you know, those times with my grandfather fishing and my dad. You know, they're just moments that you never forget. It's all about being out there together and interacting with our natural environment. The bird life is incredible, especially this time of year with kereru and tui and the fantails chasing you around. It's just beautiful.
What about the numbers of people fishing nowadays?
Globally, for women specifically, the numbers for fly fishing have increased exponentially, and that's because it's an easily accessible sport, but also as well it's something that a lot of women are getting involved in, because I believe that they are really good at it because they're patient, and it's just evolving bit by bit. And kids as well, we're seeing so many more people out on the river than I've ever seen before.
Is it an expensive sport? Can anyone get involved?
It can be, but once you've got your gear, you've got your gear. It's a lifetime thing. And it doesn't need to be. There's always options, of course, with a lot of things, and how we structure it with our kids and with all the sports that we're involved in. We opt for secondhand, so shopping smart. It doesn't need to be new gear, especially when you're starting out. All you need really is a rod, and it doesn't need to be excessively expensive. It can be secondhand, and there are really affordable options as well for beginners.
How accessible are the rivers?
A lot of them, there's a massive variety of different access points, so some are easier than others, some are more kid appropriate than others. Here in Turangi there's a whole range of different options in terms of access. This morning, Isla and I went down off a point off Grace Road, which is one local spot, and that's really easy for children. She can just walk straight in, doesn't need to cross a river or do anything like that. It can be really simple, and there's many spots that you don't even need to enter the water.
Shall we go and have a look at some of the streams around here?
Yeah, definitely.
Isla's ready to go.
She is. I feel like that's not a good river crossing stick.
Back to the Tongariro National Trout Centre, where there's a lot being planned, like outdoor classrooms for schools. Here's Doug Stevens again.
We're actually developing a whole education programs for the school. The Ministry of Education has given us a huge amount of support by putting a good sum of money in towards getting a program going. It's going to be based not just around the trout fishing, but around the whole idea of ecology, protecting our waters, and being responsible with nature. So we're really hoping that schools are going to come in. We can do things like testing the quality of the water. We can look at what is natural in the water that we want and what is something that we do not want, and the algae and those sort of things. Now, there's no way we can get around it. Trout have had an enormous impact on our environment. They've had an enormous impact on the native fish, but they're here to stay. They would be almost impossible to actually get rid of all the trout now. And they are part of our culture now. I mean, it does provide a lot of food for a lot of families as well in some of the more remote areas. But it also brings in, believe it or not, between $400 and $500 million a year in overseas earnings from people coming to New Zealand to go fishing.
I guess that was before COVID.
Yeah, it was before COVID, yes. But it's coming back again now. You go down on the river now, and there's a lot from Australia in particular coming back to New Zealand for the fishing. But it's an important part. We are really the trout fishing mecca of the world. There is better trout fishing here than probably anywhere else, anywhere where there are big fish that are in large numbers in virtually every river and lake around the country. And we have to look at the fact that trout are part of our system now, but we've got to actually make sure that we're also protecting the other species that are being challenged by the trout in the water.
Doug's a former teacher himself. He says the centre's really going to be beefing up the education element.
What we would like to be able to do is take kids from very, very early ages, the very young kids who can come down here. They might do just looking at what the fish are in the water and how they are and what they eat and so on, through to actually tertiary level. In fact, we've got a university coming from California in January, and they are going to be looking at the whole ecology and the whole natural environment and how we're going about protecting it. And in that, there's actually a really important aspect to it too. We would like to actually people to know more about how the Maori culture is looked after their environment. So we have a little experience called the Red Chair Experience, where for 2 hours we'll have local iwi will come in and talk about the myths. They'll talk about the way that they looked after the environment, what a rahui is and all of those sort of things. And that is proving to be incredibly popular. In fact, it's actually so popular the teachers have said, can we just come down and actually have that for ourselves?
Indoors now to find out some big plans for the trout hatchery.
My name is Bevan Severinson. I'm the CEO of the National Trout Centre based here in Tauranga. The hatchery here has been it was here, I think, from the early 1920s. And it was originally built here to provide and to stock the local fishery here with trout. And as were a number of hatcheries that were built around the country in the early 1900s. And so this facility has been here, been nearly 100 years now. And this one here is not used anymore by the department for stocking the taupo fishery, but we use it as an important part of what we do with the kids' fishing program. Right from the stripping of the hens through to the full-size adult trout that end up in the big raceways out the back, and then those used to be put into the local fishery here. These days it's just run purely to keep the kids' pond stocked and gives us the opportunity to provide a lot of, I guess, advocacy and opportunity for young children to get a feel of trout fishing, fly fishing.
Explain why there is no need now to have a hatchery and to put those stocks into the lake.
The Taupo fishery is run and managed by the Department of Conservation, based here in Tirangi, and they manage it on behalf of the Crown and their relationship with Te Whiri Toa here. The rest of the country, the trout fishery and the rest of the game licensing is run by Fish and Game. So we're quite unique here in this part of the country. And so this hatchery here is no longer needed to support the local fishery as it is fully sustainable. And, you know, at the moment, for example, the last couple of years have been fantastic years for the trout running back up the streams. And, you know, most local anglers have been pretty happy with the stocks of trout and the condition that they are.
Now you have another plan for this hatchery.
Yeah, so towards the end of at the other end of this hatchery, we are working on a plan in cooperation with Aquaponics New Zealand to put in a working aquaponics module. So that's growing fresh food and kai out of fish waste. There's a nice segue between our native fishery and growing kai. It's like, I guess, hydroponics on steroids, I guess. So we have a company based in the South Island that's going to assist us with putting that in, and it's going to be a working model to show people, I guess, the science behind aquaponics and how that works with relation to relationship to fresh water, and so how plants remove some of the nitrates and all of that out of fish waste and grow food. Fresh
and
food.
How much kai will you be able to grow?
Well, here, it's not going to be a huge production, but we're going to look at a number of different species and really just show people what is achievable if they wanted to do it. You know, I guess the big picture is that food's getting a lot more expensive out there. And for some people, access to fresh vegetables and all of that is getting harder and harder and more expensive. So this is our intention here, is to show people that there's another way.
Hmm. And you're doing this in conjunction with local iwi?
Yes, we've got some of our local people on our team that are helping put this together. We would like to think that this is a project that's done in cooperation with the local hapu here in Tirangi, and the benefits of what will come out of this will be shared in the community. That's the intention. We're hoping by this time next year that it will be all up and running. So it's a pretty exciting project for us. And we're hoping that that's going to be a nice addition to the freshwater story that we've got here at the Trout Centre.
Bevan Severinson of the Tongariro National Trout Centre. Check out photos of the kids and their trout on our webpage.